Dig It, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Hester's here in the studio. Let's talk about plants, and specifically, we are looking ahead. It may feel a little early to talk about autumn, but Hester says, not really, when it comes to prepping that garden. Hester, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back.
I know, it's lovely to have you back. So, as we are looking now towards, I don't know, is it the end of the summer?
I think we're going to have another one. I think we're going to have another lovely autumn, as we often do in this region. I think we're going to have another go at it.
All right, great. So we don't need to necessarily assume that we're heading towards autumn and then winter quite so quickly. But you are saying that now is the time, as we get to towards the end of summer, to start prepping if we want to actually keep some colourful plants in our garden over the next few months.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, I don't know about you and your garden, but my garden's looking a bit, it's kind of a mix of looking half drowned and burnt.
Yes.
Which is lovely mix.
Burnt leaves, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not looking great. And things that I would normally have in flower are looking a bit sad, to be honest.
Yep.
So I would say let's start with a little bit of cultural care. Your plants have had a very, very rough time of it over the last few months. No matter how careful we've all been with our watering, it's been really hot and now it's really cold. So they don't really know what they're doing. So I'd say a bit of deadheading, a bit of gentle tidying up, pick off any of the worst affected leaves, maybe feed them gently. Not too high nitrogen, but a nice balanced feed right now would really help.
Oh.
Add a bit of compost, help them out for getting ready for the winter. And I would say a bit of watering. I think that a lot of things are still very short of water. All the lovely water we've had over the last few days is great, but it's not enough.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would you actually plant now if you're looking at putting things in the ground?
So I would look at things that are going to give you a good, strong pop of colour right now. Because there's lots of things that are still kind of trundling along, but everybody is in need of a bit of, you know, fun and entertainment. So I'd start looking at some of the typical late summer, early autumn flowers, one of which are rudbeckias. I really like rudbeckias. They look like daisies. They're mostly in yellows, but there's some oranges and some deep reds as well. There's an annual type and there's a perennial type as well. They really like a warm, sunny spot. So
Look
for a nice spot in your garden. They need at least 4 hours of sunshine a day, a bit like tomatoes, really. And there are little teeny tiny ones, about 20 centimetres tall. And there's really tall ones over a metre. So I would grab whatever looks nice in the garden centre right now, which is the reverse of what I usually say to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just plan ahead, be reasonable. No, go completely nuts. Buy whatever looks fantastic right now and stuff it in a pot and it will really cheer you up.
Yeah, okay, that's true. What else is it particularly good at surviving through the next couple of months in this sort of temperature change?
So heleniums, which look very like rebeccias actually. They're also, they've got their common name is sneezeweed. Isn't that fun?
I like that.
I like sneezeweed. Some people are allergic to it. So
go
and have a good sniff first. They are the most gorgeous. Also daisy shape with that kind of flat floret and the little petals around the outside, pretty much like the way I draw flowers. They look exactly like that.
If your kids are into drawing flowers and they can draw one at age
five,
this is what they look like. Support them.
And there are some beautiful varieties. There's one called Merheim Beauty, which starts off kind of oranges and goes coppers and browns. It integrates very well into lots of other borders. Actually, surprisingly, something that's kind of browns and reds and oranges looks really good next to pink, slightly surprisingly. And it looks amazing next to grasses, which are, of course, what a really starting to do their thing right now.
Okay, yeah. So that's having a look at some quick fixes. If you want to cheer up your pots and borders, what about choices for maybe slightly longer term solutions?
Yeah, so how about a tree? You feeling brave? Shall we do a tree?
Is now the time?
Well, I would certainly go and look at one and put it in when it's a wee bit cooler. I mean, right this week, today, is perfect. But if we have more 30 degree temperatures, which we may well do, it's not going to be super hatty, ideally. So go and look in a good nursery, book it, as in pay for it and put your name on it, and have it delivered in October and then plant it. So I'd look for crepe myrtle. So I was a little nervous about these. They're also called lagostromia, which is a really fun word. Lagostromia. They're mostly hardy down to lake level. I would say if they're above 650 or 700, treat them with caution. They're planted along the lake road in several different communes. They look absolutely stunning. This beautiful eucalyptus-y sort of bark, with flakes with grey and brown on it. They're very pretty. And they have a wide variety of colours. Whites, pinks, reds, deep purples. I know not for you, but that's okay. Very bright though. And they flower from about June. I would say put them in a spot in the garden that you don't look at in the spring, because they leaf up very late.
Right. It's not going to be quite so pretty.
No.
Stay tuned. We'll be coming back. If that feels like it might be a little overwhelming to add a hulking grape tree, then we'll have a look at some other options that might be a little slimmer, a little more petite, coming up after the BBC News. Hester, thanks for joining us for Dig It. You're going to be here for the next 45 minutes. Look forward to catching up with you about other ways that we can keep our garden nice and colourful over the next few months.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester MacDonald is here to help us out with those gardens and tell us what we should be looking at doing right now. And we just heard about a certain tree that we could be planting if we want to keep some colour in the garden over the next few months. But if a tree is a little too ambitious, Hester, where do we go from here?
We'll go on down. The next one's a large shrub.
Go on.
It's also not really a quick fix. It's called Abelia grandiflora. They're mostly evergreen, except in really cold winters. They've got pinky white flowers, from July to November, and seems to survive even the coldest and wettest soils as well as dry. And it loves a warm situation. So that's brilliant. If you'd like some later summer colour and you've got some space in a border, I would go for maybe a Perovskite. There's one called Blue Spire, which is about 1.20 metres. They've got grey-green leaves and stems as well. And they've got months of colour from July to about late October, I'd say. But if you need a pot-sized one, there's one called Lacy Blue, which is very sweet, 60 centimetres tall. If you like more blue. I would go for a Caryopteris. They've got either silver, variegated, green or gold foliage, and the flowers are either bright blue, pale blue, or there's a very pretty pink one called Steffi. They also prefer a sunny spot towards the front of a border, 50 to 80 centimetres tall, and they're actually great in a pot as well.
Okay, so both of these are in a ground or pot.
Yeah, very happy.
Okay, great. Now, even smaller, if you have a little petite space, then you can grow from bulbs.
You can. And I have to say, the choice for colour at this time of the year is huge. So I asked bulb expert and grower Pontus Walston for his suggestions.
The end of August, the great bulb we're looking at here right now from South Africa is the genus Eucomys. In English, you call them pineapple lily, although it's, of course it's not a lily.
Or a pineapple.
Yeah, or in fact a pineapple. You can't eat them either. But they have a tuft of leaves at the top of the flower spike, making them look indeed like a pineapple. The good thing about Eucomys is they bloom for about 1 month, 1.5 months. And after the blooming is finished, the flower spike looks nice for another 2 months at least. And they have an extremely long longevity lifespan. They can live 20 years or more. So a great bulb, yes, Eucomys.
I mean, they look super sort of exotic. How do they do here with the temperatures?
Yes, so actually Eucomys, they grow in the Drakensberg in South Africa at high altitude, so they're used to harsh weather. They go completely dormant in the winter back to the bulb. The only thing that they need is a spot that gets slightly drier in the winter, or you put a upturned flower pot on top. They don't want to sit in soggy, wet soil in the winter, but other than that, they're very easy to grow.
Yeah. Wow, I love them. They're very architectural. They actually look very modern.
Yes, and there's many colours. So there's a Eucomys commosa, which is this is a hybrid of commosa, so it was purple-pink. And there's Pole Evansi, which is greenish-white. That's the tallest species, about 1.5 metres tall. In fact, for those of you who live around Geneva, in Geneva Botanical Garden, in the rockeries, they have a great collection of Eucomys. You can go there and see them.
Tip. So,
and they've been in that garden for 25 years. I remember in the early 2000s, I went there and they were there. They are still there today, the same clumps. So, yeah.
They're fabulous. Yes. So Eucomys are a big hit and I would absolutely recommend those. What else would you suggest?
Yes, well, we can have a look Many people may have seen alstroemerias at your florist or in bouquets, but many people may not know that they're excellent garden plants. They grow in Chile, Argentina, at between 2,000 and 4,000 meters altitude, so they're extremely hardy. And the more you cut them, so basically it's one of these plants that you're not meant to deadhead, but you dead stem it. So when the flowering is finished, you go all the way to the bottom, cut the stem off, and it stimulates it to produce new stems continuously from May to November, even December. So, and once settled in, the roots go to 60 centimeters deep and they don't need barely any watering. So, and there's many colors you can find, as these orange ones, red ones, purple ones, pink ones. So they are a good choice. The only thing is, if you have a heat wave, they may take a 2-3 week break, and then they come back up now in, as you were saying, in this in-between part in late August with a new flush of blooms.
So when should you plant these?
The best thing is to plant them when they're dormant. The roots look a bit like long carrots. So you have these little dangly pieces of fingers, they look like. But these are the roots that then bury very deep, actually. So you plant the clumps from November to March or April.
That was Pontus with some great bulb suggestions. As well as these, he also suggested colchicums, cyclamens, and the absolutely ravishing rhodophylla, which is bright pink and quite unusual.
Pontus is really the bulb man, isn't he?
He is the bulb guy. Yeah,
he's the guy to go to.
This year he won a world award at the World Lily Conference, and he brought his bulbs over in an IKEA bag on the plane.
I love that story. I love it. So thank you so much to Pontus for spending a bit of time as well, explaining the top tips as well for us. Also, I just want to say that we've got this incredible giveaway to do on the show today for Dig It. This is courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. Thank you so much to them. Hester, what are we giving away from Shilliger?
We're giving away an autumn floral arrangement. So you have to go to the shop and pick it up. And they will make it for you. You sure we can't win it?
I'm sure. Yeah. I did check that through with them. Yeah, we're out the running on this one. What we're going to ask you today, if you'd like to get into the draw, just simply name a plant that you have that needs a bit of a shout out because it's struggling recently over the recent terrible weather that we're having for plants. You know, it's been a toughie over the last week or so for them to understand what's going on. So just simply tell us about a plant that you have, plant, tree, anything, flower, that needs a bit of a shout out this morning, something that you've got that's struggling in this heat and then the change of temperatures that needs a little shout out. You're going to the draw for that composition that Shilliger will make us, and that you can go and pick up. So send in your answer, studio@worldradio.ch or 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS. We've got some of your questions coming in. We'll be tackling those in just a couple of minutes.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Keep them coming in. Your answers to naming a plant that needs a bit of a shout out because it's struggling. This will put you in the draw for a composition, a colourful composition, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. They will make it. It will be especially made for you, and then you can go and pick it up from their garden centre in Glan. That's what we've got to give away today. Simply send in the name of a plant that is struggling. Even my little spider plant got all charred leaves. It was on the windowsill. I shouldn't have left it there.
But you're so good at spider plants.
I know. Spider plants in my place just thrive. I am giving these little baby offshoots of spider plants out left, right and centre. Does anyone want a spider plant? I cannot deal with as many offshoots as these spider plants give me. But yeah, I did manage to char some of the leaves on them. Oopsie.
Never mind.
So there you go. That would be my entry. As simple as that. Keep them coming in on the text or the email. We've got lots of your questions coming in, including one from inside the studio, actually, which we will get to. But first of all, some of the questions that you guys have sent in for Dig It. Let's find out, Hester, are you ready for some questions?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. I've got one from Janet, who says, one of our trees died. Uh-oh. We were planning to replant it in the same spot, but our neighbours said that the soil might be infected and that the old tree was too close to the boundary and we couldn't plant there anyway. The garden's looking very green and boring right now. Do you have any suggestions for replacements that would give some colour as well?
That's a good question. So I would say, let's start with the law.
So, yes, in neighbouring France and in Switzerland, you cannot plant a tree 2 metres from the boundary, before 2 metres from the boundary. You certainly can't plant it right on the boundary unless you have a prior written agreement with your neighbour.
Wow.
And I would stick to that. And to be honest, if you're by a wall, for example, it's not great to plant right up next to the wall. The tree will not thrive.
So that's probably why the tree had an issue, if that is the case.
I would say so. So that's the first thing. So yes, the neighbours are right. You can't plant that close to the wall or fence or whatever
or
it is.
Or a boundary.
I would also say, yes, there probably is a concern about infected soil. I think that's probably true. Yeah. So it really depends what it died of. If it died of old age, well, that's one thing. If it died of drought, which is also quite possible this summer.
Can trees die of old age? Aren't there things like thousand-year-old trees?
There are, but there's not that many of them. Oh, okay. And lots of things can happen to trees in the meantime. And some are quite short-lived. Like birches don't tend to get much past 50 because they're early colonisers of new space. That's what they do. Oaks, by contrast, can live for hundreds of years.
Ah, I see. So it all depends on the kind of tree.
It depends what it is, yeah. Are they short or long-lived?
So what sort of suggestions do you have that as long as Janet's going to do it more than 2 metres from a boundary, etc.?
I would look for something that does more than one thing. So something like a cornelian cherry, which is known as a cornus mass, and they're quite a nice shape. You can either have them as single stems or as multi-stems. They're a native species, so they deal very well with extremes of heat and of cold. They flower really early in January, but with yellow, very pretty little yellow flowers, which bees and other pollinators love when they kind of pop up early in the season. They then have these beautiful red fruit, which appear in about July and really are a great asset to the tree. And then you get these firework leaf colours in about October through to December. They are cracking plants.
All right. We've also got a question that's come in from Paula, who said, "We've just moved into our apartment and all our plants died on the balcony." Wow, we all need a shout out.
We've all been there.
I think it was too hot for them. What can we plant that doesn't take much care and likes hot sun? I'm going to say that there's probably a south-facing balcony.
I would say so. And it was really very hot. I mean,
yeah,
I was here and I was struggling to keep up with watering for my plants. Mm-hmm. So I fully understand that if you've moved into a new apartment and you're not used to how hot it is, your poor plants then keeled over. So I would look at any of these three sections. So I'd look in the evergreens. So this is things like perovskite that we were just looking at. It's lavender. Anything like that that's got grey leaves is going to do much better in heat than something that's got green, soft, floppy leaves. That's what they are for.
Good tip.
So that's one group. The second group would be any of the Mediterranean plants. So things like rosemary will do very well in these conditions.
I think of olives.
Yeah.
Can we plant an olive tree?
Absolutely.
Or a big olive tree in a pot?
It fits into two sections. It's an evergreen and it's a Mediterranean plant. So brilliant. And I would also look at succulents. So things like sedums, sempervivums, anything like that. Something that stores water in its leaves, is relatively shallow rooted and is very happy in a pot, will do brilliantly in these conditions. But you do have to water them. You can't just then assume that they'll be fine. They do need to be watered, but not as often.
Still requiring water.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Paula, I hope that helps. Pete says, a friend gave me their climbing rose in a pot when they left Geneva. I don't want to keep it in a pot. It's getting quite big and I've got to water it a lot. Can I plant it in the ground now?
Yes. Brilliant idea. So I would prune it back a little bit so it's easier to handle, so you don't get too spiked. And it's easy then to presumably put against a wall. It's going to need some sort of support or a trellis or something like that. Get it in, and I'd say put it in right now. It'll be very happy. It'll put on a bit of root growth before the autumn. Give it plenty of compost when it goes in, and it will be the happiest thing.
Thanks for all your questions. Keep them coming in. We've got a question from the studio, though. We've got a brand new contributor at the station, Ashley, who, when she saw you walking in, Hester, said, "I need to speak to her. This is perfect. I have a question about a plant," and maybe it turned into a bit of a confession. First of all, Ashley, welcome to being on air.
Thank you.
You have a question about a tree. Please take it away. You can ask Hester directly.
Thank you. So, Hester, I have a yucca palm plant. And in a move recently, it actually started to dry up. I watered it, but I think maybe I overwatered it because its two branches have now completely fallen off. There are no palms left, and I'm not even sure if I can save this. How do I know if it's dead, and what can I do to revive it?
So I think that it may not be dead. This is our standard, is it dead question. I think it might not be. So I would start off by digging it up and having a feel of its of its roots. And if they're brown and squishy, trim them back to where they should be, that kind of nice greenish grey solid feeling. So trim them back as if you have overwatered it. I would also have a look at the state of the trunk. So yuccas obviously grow on a trunk. See if you can scrape away just a little bit of the bark, and if it's green underneath, then it's still alive. So I would feed it, I would water it gently and make sure that your pot is draining properly. Give it a couple of weeks and you may well still see some shoots. I don't think it's a goner yet.
All right. Ashley, do you feel confident?
I feel quite confident in this.
Are you going to report back?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
You better do. All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Hester. We're going to come back to you. You're looking at some different events if we need some inspiration. And also, we heard from Pontus a little earlier. You can actually go and find him at an event. We'll tell you all about that after the Swiss news, which is up next.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I'm asking you this morning to give a shout out to any plants that are struggling. You will go into the draw for the autumn composition that Schilliger will put together. That's what we've got to give away today. I'm going to read a couple of emails blind now. Let's have another look. Let's see what we've got. Christine says, morning Kat and Hester. I'm just starting on my first summer of gardening in my new house. The tomato plants are surviving. Those that didn't get chomped on at the start, at least. I've also planted some herbs. Those are doing well, except for the cilantro, which I heard not easy to grow, but I got a plant from a friend who dug up a section of their front plot. She said it was growing for a few years like a weed. Mine did not thrive and then boiled and died. The peppermint, sage, rosemary are fine. Any advice for trying again, Hester?
Give it another go.
Just keep going. Also, with the weather changing so often, it might have just been the weather that killed it.
It is. Mine bolted within about 2 weeks of planting, so don't feel bad about it.
We've also got Isabel who said, my beautiful tulip tree needs a shout out. It's very dry and quickly losing its leaves. Even some branches are actually breaking off.
Water it, water it, water it, water it, water it, water it.
Isabel, thank you. You're also in the draw. Hopefully we can get some autumn compositions out there from Schilliger. We've got one lovely, really lovely one to give away. They're going to make it up especially, but I've seen the compositions that they come up with and they are stunning. Keep them coming in. Any plant that needs a little shout out, we're here to give your plants a shout out today on the radio. That's what we're doing. Hester, you've got some great events for us to head to. If we would like some inspiration, these are some events, these are some ways that we can get more enthusiastic about plants by getting out there, getting some inspo for our gardens and maybe even bringing a few plants home.
Yeah, and talking to some experts. I mean, that's one of the great delights of doing any of these plant events. You get to talk to people and this is what they do. This is what they know about. And so you can say, well, this is the situation in my garden. What would you plant? Which is brilliant. So I'd start with Pontus. He's doing his bulb days and they're the last weekend in September, the 29th and 30th and the 1st of October and the following weekend, because last year he was overwhelmed and couldn't quite manage everybody. So he's going to be over two weekends from 11 till 5. You can ask him all your bulb questions and pick up some of the more unusual varieties and species that you won't find in the big bags in Landy. And that's www.pontuswolstonplants.com. And if you missed that, drop us a line and we'll send you the details.
Roughly where is that happening?
And he's in Perrois.
Okay.
He's got his show garden in Perrois and he'll be selling from there.
Perfect. We've also got the garden festival that's happening in a couple of weekends.
So this is the garden festival in Coppet and they are very wisely doing an autumn edition, because actually the climate here lets you plant really late. So why not buy the plants in the autumn? All sorts of things are much happier if you plant them in the autumn than you do in the spring. And that's from the 15th to the 17th of September. www.garden-festival.ch. There'll be florists, furniture, accessories, plants, loads.
Also games for kids.
Yeah.
They're going to have activities, apero and musicians.
Mm.
So making it into a little
outing.
Yeah, a little outing for the whole family. The autumn market of Pro Specie Rara.
Pro Specie Rara are a brilliant charity. They help to safeguard heritage varieties of plants and animals as well.
Mm.
They've got a garden in Basel at the Mariengarten. That besides, they will be doing an autumn fair on the 10th of September in the Seigneur de Sauvebelin, which, if you haven't been, is gorgeous in the woods in Sauvebelin, in Lausanne from 9 till 5. There'll be a seed market, there'll be loads of specialists, lots to eat and drink, and stuff for kids as well. So have the look for that, www.prospeciarara.ch.
I've heard of tulips in Morges. But yeah. Dahlias in Morges.
There are dahlias in Morges. It's the counterpart to the Tulip Festival. It's really lovely. Now, they have been a little bit sad because they don't like being very, very hot. Mm. I was there a couple of weeks ago and everything was a bit whew. But I popped in yesterday and all of a sudden everything's packed up, funnily enough. So now is the time to go and enjoy looking at some beautiful dahlias.
And one for the Italian speaking parts. If you're ready for a little trip, maybe.
Yeah, this is my favourite festival in Italy called Orticolario. It's the 28th of September, the 1st of October in the Villa Erba in Cernobbio on Lake Como. It's always beautiful. The theme for this year is the feel of water. So you can expect not only the usual super plants, loads of really specialist plants, people, accessories, food and furniture, but also lots of wonderful installations and sculptures. Have a look on www.orticolario.it. Tickets €22, but children are under 14 are free.
Ah, I didn't realise it's actually in Italy itself.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Ah. It's absolutely lovely. I would go by train because the tunnel is shut.
Yes. Yes, top tips.
Go by
there.
Train, and it's easy on the train. Just bring a big IKEA bag, it'll be fine.
As Pontus did, we've heard about
exactly.
As well. Thank you so much, Hester, for all of these top tips. If you need to hear this podcast again, we will get it up on the website today at worldradio.ch/digit. That is where you can listen again with some of the links as well that Hester has mentioned. Hester McDonald, thank you so much. Also, though, if people would like to find you and they would like to take a course in person, where can they go?
Come and see us in Neon on the 30th of September at Chez Théophile, which is at the Espace Fondation Espace 20 Route de l'Étrasse. Look us up. The details on www.chezteophile.ch.
Thank you so much, Hester McDonald. We'll catch you in just a little bit, but thanks for keeping our gardens nice and colourful over the autumn.
Thank you.
Sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.